Good morning, church. It's good to speak to you again this morning. And some of you have commented the voice part of the messages are well received and you appreciate them, and that's great. It encourages me to continue speaking. And my thoughts are centered these days, of course, around the current conditions that are in the world. And I thought about this topic of time. It seems to me that a lot of us have a lot of extra time now and are filling it with various things to keep ourselves occupied. But more important than all of that, I thought about God's timetable for his return. And some have commented, and certainly you can hear different messages today on Christ's return. And I think it's not unusual for every time there is crisis in the world, we wonder, well, is this one more sign of the end before Christ returns? And so I want to just dip into that just a bit with you today. And my scripture text is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and then into chapter 5 regarding the coming of the Lord. And in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And in this text, we have that those words, we will be caught up. And that has led to this idea of rapture, although the word rapture is never, ever used in all of Scripture. Now, in verse chapter 5, pardon me. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. And isn't it true that we are all concerned and have done great studies on this whole idea of the timetable of God in his return to earth? And here he addresses it. We do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. For you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons and daughters of light and sons of the day, and we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. And those two words are important in this text for the day in which we are living. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Again, good instruction for the days in which we live. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. That's an important part of it, because I don't believe that God has appointed us to go through the tribulation, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And that's what I'm doing today, offering you some encouragement and building you up in your faith and your understanding of things that are still to come. And many have wondered how these current conditions of COVID-19 relate to the return of Jesus to gather his church home. And do the events of today point to the return of the Lord for the church called the rapture is another question. And there are many who firmly believe in the rapture when Jesus calls his church home and the tribulation begins. It's called the pre-tribulation view. And the sequence of end time events vary with different theological points of view and scholars that have studied these things. And some that do not believe that there will be a rapture of the church, and some that don't believe that there will be a thousand-year reign of the church on earth called the millennium. But there is one thing of common ground that we all believe in Christian faith, and that we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. So then, what does it mean to be ready for his return? How do we live in expectation of his return, and how do we interpret the end times events, such as what we're dealing with today in this pandemic that has gripped the world? Certainly these events, and there's been many over the course of history, some even greater, that have inflicted the world with great amounts of death and destruction, they do get our attention. And we often wonder, where is God and what's God's timetable in all of these events? And in the past, there have been those things that we have learned from through these events, especially for the church. And how have they affected us in the Christian church? And how do we live in expectation of his return? I understand that after 9/11, the churches were full. People were interested in spiritual things because of the global events and Islam that was something that they had never experienced in this way, especially those of us in North America. And the world is keenly aware of the differences there is in ideology, let alone religion. So we're awake, we're ready to learn, and one thing we know for sure, God's timing in all of these things is always perfect. Then the question is, did God bring this on? I don't believe God brings things on. I think God allows nature to run its own course. Does he know about it? Of course he does. Does he intervene on our behalf when we call out to him? Certainly that is the case that he's done with his people in the past, the nation of Israel, and I believe he intervenes on behalf of the church as well. God's timing is always perfect, and we don't get to control the times or the events in the days in which we live. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 13 and verses 32 to 33, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples about the end times and his return. And he said to his disciples, he said this, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." So then the question I have to ask is, what does it mean to be on guard and to keep awake? How does the church stay on guard and keep awake? I believe that the Bible teaches us to be aware of the times that we live in. Look at the signs that are everywhere. And certainly, even as you look at moral decline, you realize that this world is not getting better. And we need to live as though Jesus could return any time, any day. And the pandemic of today has caught the attention of the entire world. That's the one good thing that has come out of it. There's other good things. But it's caught the attention of the entire world, and it gives a clear signal to the church to be on guard, to use this opportunity, and to stay alert and be awake. It gives the church an urgency for evangelism and teaching the truth of God's word. People need to hear. People need to know. I believe living committed Christian lives means steering clear of things that entangle us and hold us to the pleasures of the world, for I believe in biblical separation from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and there needs to be a greater separation of the Christian church from those that don't claim to know Christ as their Savior. The Bible teaches us to invest our lives in matters of eternity and to know the truth of God's word so that we will not be lured in by the fleeting pleasures of this world, and we will be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. I trust that most of you, if you're having conversation with people, and mostly through the internet on email or texting or however you do it, by telephone, that your conversations that are centered around the days and the events of today will lead to an opportunity to talk about Christ's return and why it's important to live for God and know his timetable in regards to his return. The Bible teaches us that the time we are living in is a time for reaching the lost of this world. And I love this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God's purposes for the church have not changed. God's timetable for the church has not fluctuated. And I love this other verse in Proverbs 16:9, and it says this: in their heart humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. As human beings, we realize how frail we are and how little we can control the future. But in Christ, the Lord establishes our steps. And in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Taking time to gain a heart of wisdom while you have the time, it's such an important part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 is a beautiful reminder of how God has appointed a time for everything under heaven. So making the most of the time where you are in to reach the lost is of great importance. Recognizing that Christ could return any day and living each day in light of eternity is the challenge I want to leave you with. Eunice and I have personal devotions, and they've become more rich and more full, more meaningful. As we have time, we're not rushing off somewhere. And one of the things that we've done, we've gone through different books of the Bible, and I prefer not to use commentaries. I prefer just to let Word of God speak to my soul and glean the insights from God's Word by the work of the Holy Spirit. But I also like to read devotional books, and one of the books that we have had on our shelf for some time is a book that was given to us, and it's a book that the Gaithers have written regarding the inspiration for the songs that they have written. The other day I looked at the song thinking about what I was going to say today. I was looking at the song they wrote called The King Is Coming. Now in this book they always give the inspiration and the story of that inspiration of what led to the words that they penned. And we know that that song became a very powerful song for the Christian church. The Gaithers had guests over, one of which was an evangelist, and he talked about the lack of attention to the second coming of Christ, the Lord's return. And he was so passionate about it, and he told of an evangelist that had held special crusades, and he talked about Christ's return, and he had walked through the audience, and he announced, like a herald would declare, "The King is coming." He shouted it as he walked the aisles, and the impact of that affected so many people. When Bill and Gloria Gaither heard the story, it affected them, and they realized that many of their songs were not written about Christ's return. And so that thought stuck on his mind, Bill Gaither's mind, the line, "The King is coming." And he started off by writing the chorus. "Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me." And as those thoughts raced through his mind, and he penned the chorus, a tune that was given to him, the lyrics would come later from Gloria, and how God placed them on her heart and her mind, and she penned these words. In one sitting, she wrote these words: "The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors, and in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate." Then this verse: "Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed." And I love these lines: "Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming." powerful words with great meaning that have touched so many people's lives even to this day. There's a saying that says, idleness is the devil's playground. And idleness, I've found, is more than just a lack of activity. It's an idleness of thought, our thinking. It's an idleness not learning, and that's to do with knowledge. And it's also very dangerous. So I just want to encourage you, church, today, as you anticipate the Lord's return, let me encourage you to fill your days with good thoughts. Take time to spend reading God's word. Do it together if you can, but don't let that be an excuse for not reading by yourself. Read healthy material that gives you deeper insights, good thoughts, to think on these things, to transform your mind. Healthy reading material is so worthwhile. And then spend time in prayer talking to the Lord. Spend time in prayer by yourself. Spend time in prayer with your loved ones. And you'll find it refreshing to live in the days that we still have. You'll find it refreshing to live in anticipation of the time of his return. Years ago, while I was still a young man, I would make an attempt at writing songs. And the CD that we have produced, we did in a recording studio before we left Saskatchewan. Our daughter, Jolene, was part of that. So we recorded the songs on the CD that we had written. And one of the songs that I want to conclude my thoughts with, and you'll listen to it on our CD, it's called Not Enough Time. And the words that were written were because I was under conviction of the time that I wouldn't take to spend in the Lord's, God's word, and time that I had with so many other things that were far more important, and I pushed some of these things to the back. And the third verse, and you'll listen to the other verses, when will time ever slow down? I guess not as long as you and I are around. The pace of life has gotten so fast, but only what's done for Christ will last. And the pace of life has gotten a whole lot slower because of the conditions we find ourselves in today. The question is then, will you make good on the time that you have to slow down and think on the things of eternity and those matters of eternal value? And I deliberately wrote the chorus to express procrastination, basically. And the chorus goes like this: when you look down on me and see the state that I'm in, I must grieve you for the way that I've been. My time tomorrow, I must rearrange. We'll talk about it, Lord. Things are going to change. Yes, we'll talk about it, Lord. Things are going to change. Good intentions, but often we don't carry through. It's quite an admission on my part, but it was written from the depths of my soul and my heart. But often those changes are put off until tomorrow, and then tomorrow never comes. So God bless you for taking time to listen, and may you be encouraged by these words. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to speak to these people. And I pray, Father, that some of the thoughts I've shared from my heart will resonate with those who listen and who read. And that, Father, we'd make good on the days that we have. For our times, our days are numbered, and they're all in your hands. And so, Father, we pray that good would come out of what seems to be devastating to so many. We have the hope that lies within us, and may we express it to others who are in deep need of answers today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Not enough time with so much to do. Lord, when will I have some time for you? I got a time for work, a time for play, but Lord, I just can't find the time to pray. And when you look down on me and see the state that I'm in, I must grieve you for the way that I've been. My time tomorrow I must rearrange. Oh, we'll talk about it, Lord, things are going to change. So many appointments I have to make, and time for you, Lord, is so hard to take. Oh, there's time I spend that's idle, yet I won't take time to read my Bible. And when you look down on me and see the state that I'm in, I must grieve you for the way that I've been. My time tomorrow I must rearrange. Oh, we'll talk about it, Lord, things are going to change. When will time ever slow down? I guess not as long as you and I are around. The pace of life has gotten so fast, but only what's done for Christ will last. And when you look down on me and see the state that I'm in, I must grieve you for the way that I've been. My time tomorrow I must rearrange. Oh, we'll talk about it, Lord, things are going to change. Oh, let's talk about it, Lord, I am ready for that change.